Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. Listen after the podcast for more information about TPC DeQuincy.
Again, lift up a praise to the Lord. Bless the name of the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Forget not all of his benefits. The Bible goes on to say, who healeth all of our diseases, who crowns us with life and loving kindness and satisfies our mouth with good things. Say good things. God's not trying to do you evil. He's wanting to do you good. Amen. God's not trying to knock you upside the head. He wants to love you. He wants to do you good and not evil. I want to remind you of something, that when God gets involved with anyone, it's never to decrease them. It's always to bring increase into their life. He wants to do you good. Can I get a witness? Amen. It's very rare that I give up my Sunday mornings. Very, very rare, because I love my Sunday mornings. So you know I must have a lot of confidence in this gentleman for me to do this. That's putting no pressure on him, because he's under no pressure. But I'm going to introduce you to an incredible gentleman. This is Brother Robinette. Brother Robinette, man, I want to tell this story, but if I tell it, I'm going to mess it up. But I want to tell you this, and he can make it better. So, Brother Robinette was going to Afghanistan. Is that correct? Yeah, I'm messing it up already. He was going somewhere. He was going somewhere. And his praying mother laid out a map and said, Lord, I don't want him having to go to where he's assigned to go, change his orders and put him where he needs to be. The very last minute, an officer came running literally down the hall, said, Robinette, you're not going here. You're going to Germany. The night of him flying into Germany, the missionary there in Germany had a dream and said, you're going to meet a young man, and his name is going to be Charles Robinette. And you're going to find him in the airport, and you're going to take him with you. So the pastor in Germany goes to the airport, having never met this man, having never seen this man, having never heard of his name. And this missionary walks up to Brother Robinette and taps him on the shoulder and says, are you Charles Robinette? And he says, yes, I am. He said, the Lord gave me a dream and gave me your name, and you're supposed to come with me. Now, brothers and sisters, here's what I'm telling you. If God wants to get your attention, he knows how to get your attention. So, In his military days, he did so well that he actually got selected to be on the Secret Service, to go into the Secret Service. He was, check this out again, he was about to go in, he was leaving that day to go into the Secret Service, and his pastor come up and tapped him on the shoulder and said, Robinette, what are you about to do? He said, well, I'm about to go in the Secret Service. He said, no, you're not. You're about to be my youth pastor. That's not what you were supposed to do. And he became his youth pastor. And he and his wife have been in the German-speaking nations. He's been in ministry 26 years. He's been married 26 years. He's got two lovely daughters and a beautiful, beautiful family. And under their leadership, 11 years ago, they voted him in as the general superintendent of the German-speaking nations, which is 100 million people. And under And under his leadership, growth has happened exponentially. And he's about to tell you some of the things that have happened. So I've asked him to go just a little bit different if he felt it. And I think maybe he does feel to go this direction. He's going to tell you some of the amazing miracles that have happened in the Trinitarian movement in the German-speaking nations. He just got back. In fact, flew in this week from Ethiopia, where over 7,000 people received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and over 'Cause I'm not wanting to steal all of his thunder because he's got so much to say, but this is just an incredible man of God that God is using in phenomenal ways. He's very gifted in the gift of faith. They saw over 7,000 notable miracles in that crusade. This man's worthy of your attention, and I want you to open up your spirit to receive the word of the Lord this morning. Would you welcome a very special man of God? This is Brother Charles Robinette.
Well, come on, let's clap our hands to the Lord one more time. Come on, if you came with faith, would you clap your hands and let your voice loose for a moment? Would you magnify the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who is worthy? Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, mighty God. Hallelujah, mighty God. Amen. Hallelujah. I was a backslidden U.S. soldier. Holy Ghost-filled, backslidden U.S. soldier when God found me in Germany. And I will never forget that day when Brother Arlie Enos tapped me on the shoulder. And I didn't know who that man was, but I could feel the authority of the Holy Ghost in him. And he didn't even hesitate. He said, "Get in my car. I'm going to pray you back through to the Holy Ghost." And I didn't know who this guy was. Just a joker in the middle of an airport calling my name. I'd never seen him before, never heard of him. But he put me in his car, drove me back to Landstuhl, Germany, walked me into a military ministries church right outside of K-Town, and prayed me back through the Holy Ghost. Before I even signed on to my base, Arlie Enos prayed me back through the Holy Ghost. Such a gift from missionaries, a gift from God, and something God in our spirit. And we've been in the German-speaking nations ever since. And minus a small tour in Belgium and Switzerland, I guess. But what a mighty God we serve when he wants to get your attention. Ain't that right? Acts chapter 2 and verse 17. And while you turn there, let me say what an incredible high honor it is for us to be here with your great pastor. And we got to be with their family last night at their home, and they prepared such an amazing meal, and we had a great time of fellowship, and my daughters got to play hide and seek all over their house, and had such a wonderful time, and it has been just an incredible joy to be here already, and it's a high honor that the Lord has allowed us to be connected with this great body of believers. And so thank you for letting us be here. And I am so sorry that my daughter is sick today and has kept my wife home. She wanted to be here so bad. There'll be another time. Amen. Acts chapter 2 and verse 17, the Bible simply says this: "And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy." And I just want to share a little bit today about the goodness of the Lord and talk about the global harvest that we are experiencing right now. And so one more time, if you just put your Bibles down and maybe clap your hands one more time to the Lord. Hallelujah, mighty God. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. I remember it was about, I guess it was about 11 years ago, because it was right before we were elected as general superintendents over Germany and Switzerland and Austria and Liechtenstein, that the Lord had given me a vision. And in that vision, the Lord had carried me up into the sky, and I began to look down over the German-speaking nations. And the Lord asked me a question in that vision. He said, what do you think I can do with these fields? And in that vision, as I was looking down upon those nations, it was absolute darkness, and the ground was black as granite, and it was as if there was no life there at all. But God said, what do you think that I can do with this? And before I could even speak, God spoke to me and said, watch what I can do with nothing. And all of a sudden, I watched up in the sky as thunder and lightning began to just break forth, and great drops of raindrops of fire began to fall upon that black and granite ground. And it was as if great, great amounts of fire in the form of raindrops were hitting the ground. And all of a sudden, the ground began to shake and tremble, and it began to pull apart, and the ground began to be saturated with a fire. And I watched as that ground separated, and hands began to come up out of that ground and reach for that fire. And one by one, those hands were covered and began to be consumed by the fire of God. And then those hands began to reach over to other hands, and they began to join together until there was a mass fire that broke forth across Germany, and it moved across the border into Austria, and then to Switzerland, and then to Liechtenstein, until you could not see any border, and no more darkness, and no more blackness. And all of a sudden, God said, this is what I will do in the last days. He said, you will have no opposition. He said, I will give you revival everywhere that your foot sets down. Well, shortly after that, we were elected as general superintendents, and we had just started our Bible school, and we were sitting in my house. We had a hyphen gathering at our home in Vienna, Austria, and while we were sitting in that home, there was a young man that, it's truly amazing, about maybe 12 years ago, there was a man and wife, Malik and his wife, a Muslim couple, that showed up on a Wednesday night prayer meeting at my church in Vienna. And when they came in, you could tell that they felt very uncomfortable, and they did not really want to be there. And he was kind of wringing his hands, and he was a devout Muslim and felt so uncomfortable in a Christian church, well, a Pentecostal Christian church. And I watched him at the back by the door as they kind of slid in and stood by the wall and watched those apostolic people praying with fervency and intensity. And after a little while, I went back to him, and I simply asked him a crazy question. I said, what in the world is a Muslim doing in a Pentecostal church? Malik looked at me and he said, well, just so you know, I don't want to be here. And I said, okay. I said, what can we do for you? And he said, well, he said, my wife and I have been trying to have a child for 10 years. He said, we've gone through every medical procedure that they could do. He said, we've gone to specialists. He said, we were just at a doctor yesterday, and the doctor said, there is literally nothing else that we can do. You will never have a child. He said, last night I went to work at my processing plant here in Vienna. And he said, I work with a dear friend who is a Catholic man. And I was very sad because we would never conceive. And he could tell I was broken. And he stopped the belt we were working on. And he said, why don't you tell me about the problem? And he said, I began to tell him what the doctor said. And that man looked at me and said, listen, there is nothing that I can do to help you. But if you can find a Pentecostal church in Vienna, he said, the God of the Pentecostals can do what doctors cannot do. The God of the Pentecostals can do what religion cannot do. If you can just find a Pentecostal church, God will touch your wife. So he said, do you think that your God would be willing to heal a Muslim woman? I said, absolutely. We grabbed the bottles of oil, gathered the elders around this precious Muslim couple, laid our hands on Malik and his wife. They started weeping, not because they were, you know, getting the Holy Ghost or something like that, but they were so moved by the compassion of those Pentecostal people and what they were feeling by our God. Nothing dynamic happened. They shook our hands. They loved on us. They left. We didn't see them again for about 9 months. On a Sunday morning, about 9 months later, I'm standing on the platform in the middle of worship service. And if you've never been to the church in Vienna, Austria, it is a madhouse in that place in a worship service. And so we were out of control as usual. And this Muslim, Malik, comes running through the back door of the church and comes up onto the platform. And he said, do you remember me? I said, yes, sir, I remember you. And he said, you prayed for my wife to have a child. I said, I remember praying for your wife to have a child. He said, my wife just gave birth to twins. I said, why didn't you come back and celebrate what God did? He said, oh, your God didn't do this. He said, it was just a coincidence. I said, then what brings you to a Pentecostal church on a Sunday morning? And he said, well, the babies aren't doing well, and they're saying they're not going to make it through the day. And I was just wondering if you think the God of the Pentecostals would be willing to heal two Muslim children. I said, yes, sir, I'm convinced he will. I said, but not before you declare he is God. I said, get on your knees and lift up your hands and declare that there is only one God and his name is Jesus, and he will heal both of your children. He fell on his knees, tears streaming down his face, lifted up his hands, started calling on the name of Jesus. We prayed for him. Nothing significant happened. He left the church that day. We didn't even hear anything from him for about 8 hours. But about 8 hours later, I was sitting in my office with my leadership team when my phone began to ring, and it was Malik. And he said, Pastor, do you recognize my voice? I said, yes, it's you, Malik. He said, I've got to tell you what our God has done. I said, tell me, tell me what our God's done. He said, by the time I got back to the hospital, my babies were off of life support and they were breathing on their own. He said, the doctors can't figure it out. He said, our God is the only wise God. He said, Pastor, he said, you are my pastor. He said, your God is my God. He said, would you please dedicate my babies to the Lord Jesus Christ? Two Sundays later, Malik and his precious wife and those two beautiful, not Muslim babies, Jesus name babies, showed up in our church for a baby dedication. They came up in front of the pulpit platform, and Malik had both of those beautiful babies in his arms, and my wife and I were standing there getting ready to pray for them when all of a sudden Malik started shaking like this. My wife jumped down and grabbed both of those babies from his arms. All of a sudden, Malik lifted up his hands, and before anybody could lay hands on him, he started speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. His precious Muslim wife reached over to stabilize him, and when she touched him, she began to shake, and all of a sudden, she started speaking with other tongues, just like the Bible says. We baptized both Malik and his wife in the only saving name of Jesus Christ in that service. Which brings me back to the hyphen meeting. We're sitting in our house. And, well, it doesn't exactly. I'll get right back to that. Malik was the very first Muslim that we won in the city of Vienna, Austria. I came back to preach a meeting. I don't remember where I was. Please forgive me. But I was in North America somewhere. And while I was in North America, I got a phone call from a woman who was the sister of a devout Muslim who was in engineering school in Vienna, Austria. She called me and she said, my brother, we're in the middle of Ramadan, and my brother just had a vision of Jesus Christ sitting on the throne, and Jesus spoke to him in the vision and said, I am the only wise God. Find a church that preaches me. She said, are you a Jesus name church? I said, we are. She said, would you send somebody to meet my brother? So I send Malik and another Muslim man over to meet with this young man. They show up in his house. This guy is all in. He is desperately looking for Jesus Christ. Well, I show up the next Sunday. I get to meet him. He's at church. We're promoting our Bible school. And he comes to me and he says, please let me join the Bible school. Now, at that time, our Bible school had this policy that you couldn't join the Bible school unless you'd been in the church for over a year, had the Holy Ghost, and baptized in Jesus' name. Well, of course, this Muslim man had no experience at all. He's 1 week in the church. He doesn't know anything about the Holy Ghost or baptism in Jesus' name. But God spoke to me and said, I'll take care of it. Just get them in training. So I told him, I said, you have 24 hours. Bible school starts tomorrow. I said, you have 24 hours to get the Holy Ghost and be baptized. I'm a really kind guy. And so Bible school starts the next day. He shows up. He is sitting at the back of the class. He's so excited. Brother Holzman is teaching, one of our great missionaries in the German-speaking nations. He's teaching about the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. I look back to the back of the class, and that Muslim man can't even sit still. He's jumping up and down. All of a sudden, he throws his hands in the air. He starts speaking with other tongues with nobody touching him. That Sunday morning, he's baptized in the only saving name of Jesus Christ. The hyphen meeting. We get to the hyphen meeting. He's there. And I'm not a real social bug, okay? I'm kind of a, you know, I like my alone time, and I like books. And so I kind of can sit in the crowd all by myself, and it doesn't bother me at all. And so I went out back of our house, and I was sitting there. There's this big hyphen party going on. My wife is always a party waiting to happen. She loves people. She loves parties. She loves anything like that. So she's having a blast inside, and this Muslim man who just got the Holy Ghost, just got through the first semester of Bible school, comes walking outside to sit with me, and he said, Brother Robinette, what are we going to do about all the Muslims in this city? I said, well, what do you want to do? He said, let's start a Muslim church. I said, that sounds like a great idea. I said, when do you want to start it? He said, how about 6 months? I said, how about tomorrow? I said, if we start tomorrow, how many Muslims can you have at the first service? He said, I'll have 50 there. I said, great. So we started a Muslim church the very next day. He had over 50 people, Muslims, at the opening service. We preached the mighty God in Christ and the power of his spirit. And in the midst of that service, we had over 30 Muslims receive the gift of the Holy Ghost and baptized 20 in the only saving name of Jesus Christ in Vienna, Austria. From there was a massive breakthrough. Over 200 Muslims were filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name in a 2-year period of time. And God began to give us favor in the Muslim community like you can't even imagine. That favor began to break loose all across the German-speaking nations, and hundreds of Muslims have been added to the church. Then, now, I kind of told Pastor a little bit about this, but I kind of thought, okay, you know, when God gave me this vision about reaching the 100 million souls in the German-speaking nations, I kind of had a traditional mindset. We'll have a traditional Bible school. It'll be in one location. We'll bring everybody in. We'll train all of this stuff. After about 4 or 5 years of trying it that way, I remember being in a prayer meeting, and the Lord spoke to me, and he said, if you're done doing things your way, I've got some ideas. So I said, okay, God, whatever you want to do, you just tell me what to do and we'll do it. Well, shortly after that, I get this phone call from another missionary in another field, and he said, I've got a man, and this man is a great man. He's a wonderful man, and he wants to help you in the German-speaking nations, and he said, he'll be calling you. Well, it was a short time after that, this man called me on the phone, and he said, Brother Robinette, he said, would you fly up to Dusseldorf, Germany? And he said, if you would, he said, I've got the general board of an entire Trinitarian organization that wants to meet you right now and talk about being a part of the UPC. So immediately I got on an airplane, flew to Dusseldorf, got a rental car, drove down to Duisburg, and I show up at this meeting with these 6 general board members. And I'm in this meeting, and in the midst of the meeting, we were kind of talking about, you know, doctrine, and all of a sudden one of these men asked a crazy question. He said, what do we have to do to be licensed in the United Pentecostal Church? And it kind of set me off a little bit, and I said, you know what, brother? I said, if you came to me looking for a license, I said, you're the wrong kind of people. I said, we're looking for people who want the truth, not a piece of paper. Well, their superintendent reached over and told that man, just be quiet. He said, let this man speak. So I got to telling them about being born again of the water and of the Spirit, being filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues, being baptized in the only saving name of Jesus instead of the titles Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. In the midst of that, the superintendent looked at me and said, you don't have to say another word. He said, be back on Sunday. I'll gather all of our pastors together, and you can preach this message to our pastors. I come back on Sunday. Brother Sayers and I, another great missionary in the German-speaking nations, we show up there together. There was about 40 maybe people in this room. We gather in this room and start preaching about the mighty God in Christ and the power of the Spirit. There was a man named Brother Israel, a very prominent pastor in that organization. And he had been told his whole life that there was no Holy Ghost, that it was just fanaticism and just excitement of these people who are over emotional. And he got so upset that I was preaching about the power of the Spirit that he got out of the back row and started running down the aisle to take the microphone away from me. When he got to the altar, all of a sudden it was like lightning struck him. He spun around, hit the ground on his back, and started speaking in other tongues. When he got the Holy Ghost, it was like every Trinitarian in the room realized this is real. They jumped to their feet, threw their hands in the air, started calling on the name of Jesus, and with nobody touching them, God filled 28 Trinitarian pastors with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues. We baptized 22 of them in the only saving name of Jesus that afternoon. But when Israel got done speaking in tongues, he got up, and this time, instead of trying to take the mic, he asked for the mic. And I gave him the mic. I wasn't sure what was about to happen, but I gave it to him, and he said, church, he said, I was coming up here to put this preacher in his place. He said, and God put me in mine. He said, I am the oldest minister in this room, and I have always told you the Holy Ghost isn't real. He said, but I'm here to tell you now, not only is it real, but it's not fanaticism, it's not emotion. He said, it is the power of God's Spirit. He said, I've got it, and our organization's gonna get it. He said, whatever this preacher says to do, we're gonna do it. From there, God just exploded a Trinitarian revival upon us. We changed our Bible school format, started to go into campuses. Pastors, Trinitarian pastors, were asking to host a Bible school campus in their own church. We started, the Bible school doubled. It went from 4 campuses to 8, 8 to 16, 16 to 32. To this year now, we're heading to 60 Bible school campuses, and almost every single one of them are in Trinitarian churches. Believing God for over 800 students this May in the German-speaking nations. I remember years ago when a preacher looked me in the eye and said, you will never have revival in the German-speaking nations. He said, it is burnt over and dead, and you cannot reach those people. But when God wants to get a hold of you... It doesn't matter what anybody said, what anybody's done, if you give God one chance. I remember in Vienna, I forgot what time do we normally end, Pastor? Remind me. I forgot. Perfect. Thank you, Pastor. We were in Vienna. Last testimony I'll share. I'll share a lot more tonight. But in Vienna, we did this crazy outreach effort. And normally I'm a lot more thoughtful about things, but somehow this just got by me. But we did this promotional mail out that simply said free food. Somehow they got that past my desk without any scrutiny and mailed out like 10,000 flyers in the city. So Sunday morning comes, we had a packed out house. I mean, every seat was full and the walls were lined with people who all came expecting free food. And there was a precious little Catholic lady, one of my favorite people in the world. This precious Catholic lady came in with this flyer. And Austrian people are very literal. So she came in with this flyer and thought it was a coupon. And she walked to the front desk of the church and she said, "Where's the buffet?" And my front desk is very witty. And they looked at her and said, "Well, if you sit on the front row, you will be the first one served." Well, I told you my church is crazy, and it's not my church anymore. We turned it over to our assistant pastor so we could focus on the Bible school and the German-speaking nation's broader vision. But at that time, I was pastoring the church, and they're crazy. And it was one of those Sundays. You know when sometimes you have that really wild Sunday, and you just kind of hope that all the visitors don't think everybody's that way. And we had people rolling on the floor, running circles. It was crazy. And this Catholic woman is sitting on the front row watching this madhouse. And I could tell she was in shock. And I remember thinking, oh my goodness, she will never come back. She's just waiting to get out the door of this church. And the end of the service, I went to my office like I normally do, she came and knocked on the door, and in German, she started talking to me, and she always called me young preacher, and she said, "Young preacher," she said, "would you like this Catholic woman to be a member of your church?" I said, "Well, we'd love you to be a member of this church." She said, "If you can abide by 10 rules," she said, "I will join your church." And I don't know what got a hold of me, Pastor, but when she said that, I got inspired. And I got a notepad and paper, and I said, "I'm sure we can work with whatever you've got." I said, "Give me your list." And she said, "Okay." She said, "Number one," she said, "you are so loud." She said, "God is not deaf." She said, "Could you just tone it down a hair?" I said, "Well, I'm pretty sure I can work on it. We'll talk to the sound team. Number one, be quiet." "Great, I'll be quiet." She said, "Number two, you sweat so bad." She said, "You work too hard." She said, "We don't need you to sweat to get your point." She said, "Could you stop sweating?" I said, "Sister Brigida, I'm going to work on not sweating. I'm going to tone it down. Thank you." And she said, "All this tongue-talking business." She said, "Just stop talking in tongues." I said, "Okay, number three, no tongues." She said, "Stop baptizing people the way you do." I mean, she went down the list. No clapping, no dancing, no shouting. When she finished, I don't know why I said it. I said, "Wow, this is reasonable." I said, "You come back next Sunday, I think we're going to make a dent in this list." It wasn't a lie. I really had good intentions. I thought we could do a little bit better, you know. And I thought maybe the crazy people do shift work, you know, maybe next week it would be a different shift. And so it would look better. And so The next Sunday comes, Brigitte's there on the front row. The worship team starts to sing, and it was worse than the Sunday before. I mean, craziness. And I look down on the front row, and here's Brigitte, and she's kind of patting her foot, you know, little non-Catholic style, you know. She's a little bit into this now, and I got inspired, and I sent my secretary to my office to get the list of rules. And I stopped the worship service. And I said, wait a minute. I said, we have a rule breaker in this house. I said, Brigitte, I see you patting your foot. I said, it looks like you're kind of doing that like dancing thing. I said, are you dancing in a Pentecostal church? She got a big smile on her face. She said, Pastor, I am. I said, well, I'm going to go ahead and cross that off the list so we don't have any rule violations in the house of the Lord. I turned to the worship team. I said, go ahead, let's worship. They got to going again, and I looked down, and now she is like clapping her hands. So I stopped the team again. I said, wait a minute, this is too much. I said, Brigitte, we can't have Catholics doing that in a Pentecostal church. I said, it's in the rules. Brigitte smiled real big, and she said, go on, Pastor. I said, well, I'm going to take it off the list. So I took it. Now we're down to 8 rules, and I'm feeling really good. And I said, let's worship some more. And we got to worshiping, and this African mama, Sister Aka, comes running down the aisle and grabs that Catholic woman by the hand. And before I could stop things, Pastor, they started running circles around the church, worshiping the mighty God in Christ. When she got around to the front the next time, she had her hands in the air and she was speaking with other tongues just like the Bible says. At the end of that service, we baptized Brigitte in the only saving name of Jesus, and she was the best Catholic apostolic that I've ever had in my church. She worshiped better than the young people worshiped. And I want you to understand, when God wants to get a hold of you, God will get a hold of you. It doesn't matter what religion you think you are, come on, it doesn't matter if you're Muslim, you're Catholic, you're Pentecostal. In these last days, say it, God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all. Stand with me today. Everybody stand. All flesh. All flesh. I mean, that little Catholic lady was the most devout Catholic woman I have ever known. A total Austrian Catholic. I remember when she got cancer. Oh, Pastor, I wanted God to heal her so bad. She loved her pastor. Oh, she wouldn't let anybody mess with me. I mean, that little Catholic lady, now forgive me for calling her Catholic, but she refused to say she was not Catholic. And all the way until she died, she was a Catholic Pentecostal. And it didn't bother me none, because she was tongue-talking, Jesus' name baptized, and loved the truth from the top of her head to the sole of her feet. I didn't care what the world classified her as. I knew what God classified her as. When she got cancer, man, I sat by her bed. I prayed a prayer of faith. Man, I have seen so many hundreds of thousands filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Nearly 500,000 people I've seen filled with the Holy Ghost. And at least the same in miracles. And I couldn't understand My God took that precious Catholic woman. I sat by that bed praying, God save her. It'll be a testimony to every Catholic in this city. And I'll never forget the night before she passed. I was sitting by her bed holding her hand. We were singing old songs together. While she was singing, I was crowing. And she said, Pastor, I started to pray for her. And she said, Pastor, please stop praying that God heals me. I said, what do you mean? She said, I spent my whole life without the truth. And now I've got it. And I get to see him. She said, your loss is my gain. I remember we celebrated together. She laid on that bed speaking. That little Catholic lady spoke in tongues and laid her hands on her pastor's head and prayed for me. The Lord took Sister Brigitta, but out of Sister Brigitta came a massive revival that broke out. A cop that had known her whole life came into the church after that and got the Holy Ghost and got baptized in Jesus' name. He said, if it's good enough for Brigitta, it's good enough for me. He started winning other cops, other Austrians. When God wants to shake it up, man, God will shake it up. Doesn't matter who you are, where you're from, what your background is, how long you've been, whatever faith you want to call yourself. Do you realize that the entire world is being filled with the Holy Ghost right now? Everybody. Muslims are getting the Holy Ghost. Baptists are being filled with the, you know what? I was preaching at a Baptist church recently. And I was in the corner of the pastor's office kneeling down praying for God to give me wisdom. Because I didn't want to offend the Baptist. And all of a sudden the door of the office opened and I didn't look, but somebody came and knelt down beside me and started speaking in other tongues. And it was the pastor of the Baptist church. I turn around, I'm in shock, tears are streaming down his face. He said, I'm a closet tongue talker. He said, I've been tongue talking my whole life. This church doesn't know it, don't tell them. He said, but if you would do me a favor and preach the Holy Ghost to my people, he said, I'd be so glad to not be a closet tongue talker anymore. I just want to let it all loose. I want everybody to know that I've got the Holy Ghost in fire and I'm not ashamed. I don't know who you are, but nobody comes to a Pentecostal church naively. Everybody knows what we believe. Everybody knows we're tongue talkers. Everybody knows we baptize in Jesus' name. You didn't come to this church and standing in this place today going, oh my goodness, I'm in shock. You knew exactly what you were getting yourself into. And you came because you were tired of tradition. You were tired of religion. You wanted an experience that you could feel. You wanted a God that would touch you. You wanted a God that would reach past the world and reach into your circumstance and say, I love you. I want to touch you. I want to save you. Call yourself Catholic. Call yourself Baptist. I don't care. There is an outpouring of the Spirit that God wants to give you. How's it, Brother Becton's church? When the Assembly of God pastor showed up on that Sunday morning. Now, Brother Showalter, great missionary evangelist, met with this Trinitarian Assembly of God pastor the night before and said, come to church with me. And That pastor told him the Holy Ghost isn't real. You guys are fanatics. Brother Showalter looked him in the eye and he said, you ask God to do something crazy, and if you see it in the service tomorrow, you'll know the Holy Ghost is real. But if you don't, I'll admit it's not real. So this pastor, privately, got an idea of what he had to see in order for him to know the Holy Ghost was real. At the end of the service, I brought everybody to the front and told everybody what God was going to do. He's going to fill everybody with the Holy Ghost. Everybody's going to speak in other tongues. It's the promise of God. Then I spoke the word of faith and nothing happened. Never seen that before in my life. Nothing happened. I thought, well, I'll go see what's going to happen then. I walked down off the platform, walked to the left side of the church, and this Assembly of God pastor was standing there. I didn't know who he was. I went to lay my hand on his forehead, and he slapped my hand away. He said, I haven't seen it yet. Move on. So I went to the next person, laid my hands on him. Most bizarre thing. They fell on their back speaking in other tongues. Went to the next person. They fell down speaking in tongues. I went all the way across the front of the church, and every single person, over 30 people, fell down on their back speaking in other tongues. It was so bizarre that my wife came running up to me and she said, I don't know what you're doing, but stop it right now. She said, we're not those weird kind of people. She said, just stop. And while she was standing with me, this Assembly of God pastor came running across the front. He said, that is what I prayed God to show me, that if it was real, everybody would fall down speaking in other tongues. He said, lay your hand on me. I want it now. I laid my hand on him. He fell down speaking with other tongues, just like the Bible said. That night, he brought his elders from the Assembly of God Church and his worship team, and God filled all of them with the Holy Ghost. That night, we baptized every single one of them in the only saving name of Jesus Christ. Don't let culture, tradition, or pride keep you from getting the greatest gifts of God. Nobody's telling you you gotta be Pentecostal. That's not what we're saying. We're saying God loves you so much, he's about to add to you. He's gonna give you something along with whatever you've got, and it's gonna change your life forever. So in closing here today, all I'm gonna ask is that everybody from everywhere come and stand with me in the altar. Would you do that? From the balcony all the way to the back pew, if you just come and stand with me, you don't have anything to be afraid of. Just come on from everywhere, everybody. While y'all are coming, Bree, come here, baby. I want y'all to see my pretty little daughter. My baby. She's single. And I own guns. So, just good little piece of information. I got a shovel, I got property, and I got guns. And so, whatever you want that to mean, you interpret that. Let the spirit of revelation come upon you. Come on and push your way in. Don't be afraid. There's so much room up here. Come on and get close. I want it to kind of be contagious. Y'all just get close. Feel the gaps and get as close as you can. Hallelujah. What a great, mighty God that we serve. That he doesn't care what religion we are, what color we are, what language you speak, to give us the opportunity to be born again of the water and of the Spirit. What an incredible honor and privilege. I don't want anybody to feel uncomfortable. I'm just going to give you an opportunity to be honest with God. If you have never received the Holy Ghost, never spoken with other tongues, and you believe in the power of His Spirit, if you've never received the Holy Ghost, never spoken with other tongues, would you be courageous enough to just lift up one hand? Anybody never received the Holy Ghost? Man, you guys are bold. Keep your hand up. That's tremendous. Tremendous courage. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Anybody else? 6. Tremendous. Elder, thank you for lifting up your hand and being bold. 7. Thank you, sir. I appreciate your honesty and integrity. Do you want to come a little closer? Come on and get close, buddy. Get up in the splash zone. Thank you. I appreciate that. Anybody else never received the gift of the Holy Ghost? Never spoken in other tongues? How about this? How many tongue talkers are in this room? You know it's real, you got it, and you're not ashamed to have it. Would you wave your hand just a little bit and look around you? Tell somebody next to you, say, it's real. I've got it. I know it's real. Listen to me. If you have never received the gift of the Holy Ghost, never spoken in other tongues, in just a few moments, the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you, and your tongue is going to begin to tremble, and sounds will come out you have never, ever made before. And when that happens, you're going to feel joy unspeakable and full of glory come flooding out of you. You believe it's going to happen, don't you? I know you do. Don't worry what it sounds like. In just a moment, when the Holy Ghost hits you, it'll be new sounds. New sounds. Pastor alluded to it just a moment ago. We just saw 7,000 Muslims and Hindus get the Holy Ghost in one single service. Muslims and Hindus. One group of them believes in hundreds of gods, if not thousands, and the other believes in a false god. And yet God said, I love you too much to pass you by. I'm going to give all of you my Spirit. If God could do that for Muslims and Hindus, don't you think that in this apostolic church that God could change your life in a second? In just a moment, we're going to do 5 simple things together, everybody. Why? Because God is going to fill and refill every person in this room. Everybody's going to get the Holy Ghost again. Nobody's going to be alone when they get it. It's going to be an army getting the Holy Ghost. I'm going to get the Holy Ghost again. Your great pastor is going to get the Holy Ghost again. Every boy that looked at my daughter today is going to get the Holy Ghost again. Because they're very close to meeting the Lord. So we're going to do 5 simple things. First thing we're going to do that's so very simple. When I tell everybody in this room is going to lift up both of our hands high. Would you practice that with me once? Nothing to be ashamed of. Nothing to be embarrassed of. When you lift up your hands, it is a sign of surrender. You're saying, God, I refuse to hold back anything from you today. I don't want to resist you. I don't want to hinder your move. When I lift up my hands, I'm saying, God, I love you more than anything. I know you're real. I know your power's real. I know your authority's real. I know you're going to pour out your Spirit. It's real. When I lift my hands, I'm saying, God, I surrender my voice. I surrender my heart. I surrender my life. I want all of you. All. You may put your hands down. That was just a practice. And you could feel it was about to break loose like thunder and lightning. Second thing we're going to do that's so simple. When I tell you to, when we lift our hands, everybody is going to close our eyes. The reason we do that is because we don't want to be distracted by anybody. I don't care what you're doing. This is my moment with God. I don't want to be distracted. I just want to hear His voice. Third thing we're going to do that's so simple. When we lift our hands and close our eyes, we're going to lift our head high. Why? Because you can't get anything good from God with your head hanging down. When you hang your head, it's a sign of shame, fear, and doubt. But when you lift up your head, it's a sign of boldness and courage and faith. And God loves boldness, courage, and faith. Fourth thing we're going to do as a body. When we lift our hands and close our eyes and lift our head, everybody is going to repent of our sins out loud. Now, don't get nervous. That does not mean that you have to shout out loud every evil thing you've ever done wrong. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, thank you, Jesus. But it does mean that with a sincere heart that we shout out loud to Him, God, I'm sorry, forgive me. The Bible said if we confess our sins, God is what? Faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So it doesn't matter if you've lied, cheated, stolen, murdered. It doesn't matter what that sin is. When you say, God, I'm sorry, He is bound by His own word to forgive you of your sins. So when we repent of our sins, you're going to feel rivers of living water begin to build in your belly. How many know what I'm talking about? You're going to feel those rivers start to build. And when that starts to happen, it's going to move into your chest. And then it's going to hit your lips and then your tongue. And you're going to feel your tongue want to tremble and sounds come out you've never made before. And when you start to feel that happening, we're going to speak the word of faith, buddy. And when we command you to receive the power of the Spirit, it's going to fall like fire-filled rain. And it's going to hit you on the top of your head, and it's going to flow down through the soles of your feet, buddy. And all of a sudden, your tongue is going to begin to shake, and sounds will come out you've never made before. Don't worry what it sounds like. Just surrender your voice to God and worship Him from your heart. And God will refill and fill everybody in this room with the Spirit. Are you ready? Every hand up raised right now. Listen to me. When we speak the word of faith, when you hear this preacher shout hallelujah, I want everybody in this room to shout hallelujah as loud as you can. And when you do, that will be the last words of English you speak in this altar today. All of a sudden, your tongue is going to speak new sounds. Are you ready? Every hand upraised, every eye closed, every head uplifted. Would you lift your voice with me and let's ask God to forgive us of our sins? God, I'm sorry. God, I want you to wash me clean today. Every evil word, every evil thought, every evil action, I'm sorry for every failure, every mistake, everything I've done wrong. I want you to forgive me. I want you to cleanse me. I want you to make me new. God, I'm sorry. Wash me, God. Wash me, God. Get ready. Get ready. Here it comes. God's gonna fill you. Get ready by the authority of the word of God and by the power of the name Jesus. I command you, receive the gift of the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah! That's it. Lift up your voice. Begin to speak in other tongues. Hallelujah.
We pray that today's message has blessed you. For more about TPC DeQuincy, go to our website, tpcdq.church. Please join us Wednesday night at 7 p.m., Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Sunday night at 6 p.m. TPC is located at 301 West 4th Street in DeQuincy. TPC, loving God and loving people.